Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's Art Shirk and Henry Kimsey House are here, and we want to welcome you to this, our third webinar. Today's webinar is titled Standing in the Fire.
Or in my case, Standing in the Wind. I've got about 80-mile-an-hour winds right outside my house right now.
Yeah, Henry, out there hanging over the cliffs of California is in a windstorm, and you'll hear a little rattling when he's speaking on the line. But it's not too bad. I think we'll be okay. So, again, this is welcome to everyone. This is the series, Transformative Coaching in Organizations, Standing in the Fire. This is the third of three webinars in this series. And as if you were with us before, you already know this. And if you're new, welcome. We're glad that you came. During the webinar, because we expect to have several hundred or more folks from around the world on the call, you all are muted during most of the call, and we will have the way that we respond to questions is as you type your questions into the chat window or into the question window, some of the questions are being forwarded to us, and we may respond to some as we go, or we'll certainly take some time toward the end to respond to questions or comments that come up. But unlike a lot of things with CTI, this is kind of a one-way communication vehicle.
It's a bit weird for us, you know, CTI circle folks who lead with constant input from the surrounding folks and in the circle, and yet at the same time, it's sort of an interesting opportunity for Art and I to experiment with co-leadership into the void. The void that is filled with everything. Thank you for being out there filling up our void.
Right.
Standing in our fire, so to speak.
Some months ago, a group of us were meeting and we were talking about coactive coaching. And I say coactive specifically. We're talking about our model and what really we stand for. And where is it that we kind of stake our claim and say, this is who we are as coactive coaches? And wanting to really, you know, we've been around now, we collectively, this community of coactive coaches, have been around now for a long time. And we are in this field pretty, you know, prevalent around the world. And so, really, who are we? And from that came conversations about how we really do stand for transformative growth and change, for an evolution in human consciousness. Like, that's really the kind of big agenda of what we want and who we are as coaches. And from there came conversations around, well, then what does that really mean? And in an organizational context in particular, if that's what we're really about, then what does that mean? What does it mean for us in coaches that are coaching in that environment?
If what we are about, in other words, is being change agents of transformation or transformative change agents in organizations or anywhere as coaches, doesn't that opens up the definition for what a coach is, actually. It actually allows us to say we're a coactive coach who works with individuals, with teams, with as a leader, as a coactive coach, as someone who is a transformative change agent, someone who is committed, who has a stand or a stake in the ground, if you will, for creating a breakthrough over there in the other team, the leader, the people that you're leading, that kind of thing. You have a stake. You have an agenda. And that's the big thing, the big realization that we realized is that many people got the information from us from doing our courses that coaches don't have an agenda. The only clients have an agenda, and the coach's job is to hold that agenda. And what we are realizing is, no, that coaches do actually have a stake, have an agenda, and that is this to create transformative change in whoever they touch.
And yeah, this is true anywhere, you know, and in particular in the organizational context, the label coaching gets used to describe so many different things, so many different kinds of employee performance improvement strategies or development planning processes or like lots of things that could be called coaching, but sure do not look like what we intend for coactive coaching to look and feel like. And so we asked ourselves, what is it that if you're a coactive coach and you're working in organizations, what are some of the things that stand apart if this really is the stake that we have that Henry was describing? And so one of them, and these became then the themes of these webinars, and it's not the whole story, but we thought really three important things were, first off, busting the myth, as Henry was saying, that coaches have no agenda. You know, sometimes, I don't know, the sense of who we are as coactive coaches can, in some arenas, there's a misperception of it being somewhat sort of soft or neutral or something like that. And actually, I would say that with our clients, we have a fierce agenda. So we wanted to bust that up, and then that was our first topic, was really the coach's agenda in the transformative process.
The second topic was that now that we know the coach has an agenda called create transformative change, and, you know, be change agents of transformative change as opposed to incremental or, you know, step-by-step change. It's really to create this transformative change. What needs to happen? What needs to happen in when the coach is with the client frequently, actually, is that there has to be permission. The coach has to operate from a place of permission to shake things up. So our second webinar was titled Shaking It Up, and it was all about creating disorienting events and dealing with disorienting events with the client and looking at how to shake up the sort of consensual reality that the client is living in so that they can put themselves in a position of breaking through. And who did the coach need to be to have the courage to step in and shake things up like that with the client?
And not always easy to do. But once the coach has kind of leaned in and been willing to shake up the status quo a bit or to say the hard truth or to take a stance that might be a bit confrontational or whatever, it may create discomfort. It can get messy. And this is what we're referring to as standing in the fire. And, you know, challenging, and all of us in our different ways, I would say, when the heat gets hot enough, we want to shrink back. Instead of being able to stand in the fire, we want to shrink back in different ways. And we're going to talk about this on our call today, but we have, you know, there are different ways of shrinking back. But our stand here is that one of the important things, again, is creating a disorienting dilemma, being willing to shake things up, and then being willing to stand in the fire, to be
actually,
with.
There should be a big red not sign over shrinking back. So it's how do you stand the fire and not shrink back from the actions that you actually created in shaking things up?
So on today's call, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about shrinking back from the fire, and you know what that means, and what the ways are that the things that we kind of cling to, and stuff like that. What are our saboteurs? As coaches in an organizational setting, and truly, you know, it's really anywhere, but in an organizational setting in particular, what are some of the most common saboteurs? And many of you on the call know CTI has recently adopted a powerful leadership instrument called the Leadership Circle that has infused some of our thinking with more information about stages of adult development, about the transformative shift from really from a kind of saboteur stance to an empowered stance. And we want to share some information from that about that's kind of shaping some of our thinking about saboteurs. Winning strategies for standing in the fire. So when it is, you know, you, what are some of the keys, tips, tools, keys, winning strategies for being able to stay in that, in those difficult moments with your client? Then for you as a coactive coach, and when I say you here, I really mean you personally to the, there are almost up to 200 people on the call now. So for you 200 people personally, what does this mean to you? And what is, you know, really, what's your commitment, your declaration, and your own practice to carry these things forward?
Because one of the things we know that has, the last thing we say is making your declaration and continuing the conversation. One of the things we know, and I know you know as coaches, is that there's nothing that gets intention more set than declaration. And declaration, dedication, you know, declaration and dedication, those two things move one to stand in the fire more than anything else. And that's what we'll be talking about as we go along.
And just as that's true for our clients, so too that is true for us.
Absolutely.
So that's where we're headed. So we want to talk first about shrinking back from the fire. And, you know, what
or
does,
the water in
what,
this case.
Yeah, or the water in this case. What that really means. And, you know, one distinction here, this also comes from some of the leadership circle work that we're doing, is a distinction between playing not to lose rather than playing to win.
I know you all get this one. I mean, what we do often is we really play, we work, we put ourselves out there so we don't lose, so we don't look bad, so we don't look awkward, or we don't mess up. You know, we play not to fail as opposed to we play to succeed. We play to win.
So if everyone out there would think for a moment, I want to contrast these two scenarios. So the first scenario is a playing to win scenario. And so those times, bring to mind those times with your clients when you have such a powerful alliance together that you're willing really to do anything. And your client is willing to, you know, your client is open, is trusting, is willing to look foolish, and so are you, willing to feel emotion. Really, there's a commitment to the process. And you want nothing less for your client than real transformation, you know, than really reaching toward the possibility that you know is really possible for them. And so you're willing to do that, and you're willing to step into discomfort. You're willing to make mistakes, where that's really the feeling of it. We know that. That's play to win. And now bring to mind a different scenario. Bring to mind the scenario where the alliance you have with your client doesn't have that quality of anything goes power to it. It's a little bit more tenuous, and the coaching process, at times when the going gets rough, it gets a little, a little shaky, where you want to make sure that you don't screw it up, where you really, you know, you're a little concerned sometimes that your client might get unhappy, and you don't want that to happen. So there are various things that
the
as
other
coach,
thing I noticed in their art. Can I say something?
Yeah.
When I start humming my client a lot, you know, when I'm on the phone and I start humming, or I'm noticing myself being distracted and I'm not focused, it's usually because I'm playing not to lose. I'm tolerating. You know, I'm allowing things to happen rather that are just sort of happening rather than, you know, holding the stake clear that I'm here for this person's transformation. I'm playing to win. I'm playing to get something here with
yeah.
this person.
So with this, like, just notice for yourself the difference in these two scenarios, and how, like, in your body, in your heart, with your emotions, in your thoughts, the very nature of play to win is different than play not to lose. Notice how you change when you go in, you know, in one situation or the other. And I would, you know, we would suggest here that when the heat is turned up, and by heat we mean if there is conflict, if there is extreme discomfort, if there is really hard to confront truth. That's what we really mean when we say the heat or the fire. And we would suggest that for many of us, those are the kinds of situations where it becomes, where, you know, we respond with fight or flight. And this is, that becomes a play not to lose strategy. So a first thing is just, you know, is everyone being able to really recognize when that's what is happening for you.
And these bullet, whoops.
Sorry about that. There we go.
These bullet points that are underneath the first bullet point says seeking approval and looking good, being a star, being smart and having a good idea, staying comfortable. These are all the things we, strategies, the compensations that we put on top of playing not to lose. These are all the ways that we as coaches and our clients play not to lose. You know,
and just as a few weeks ago we said that in order, and again, where we're coming from here is if we're coming from the stance that coaching and coactive coaching in particular can and must be at times transformative. So when it is that, at times, a disorienting dilemma and shaking it up is necessary. And we would say that the fire and being able to stay in the fire with your client is also necessary, is a necessary ingredient for that kind of change that we want to have happen. So if we fall into a play not to lose kind of strategy and we start clinging to safety or comfort or looking good or whatever, what's the cost to you and what's the cost to your client? And I notice here, I want to put out a question here. This question comes from Chloe. Thanks, Chloe. And the question is, well, what if you as the coach, you always play to win, but your client always comes to the session, quote, playing to lose.
Or probably
in a playing to lose
playing
kind
not
of way.
To lose. Probably
playing
means
not
playing
to lose.
Not to lose.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a great question, and I have to pause and sort of think. What do I think about that?
Can I make a stab at it?
Of course.
And I want to make a stab at it with an example. Sometimes playing not to lose is another way for saying I'm playing to survive. You know, to get by, to just make it. We just went through a recession, and a lot of companies and a lot of people were just trying to keep their head above water. They were playing not to lose at all, not to lose their business. And so sometimes you've got to tighten the belt, you've got to pull things in, and you've got to play not to lose for a bit. And a lot of times people get trapped in that playing not to lose place, even though sometimes it's absolutely essential that we put our focus there. But most people do not want to live in survival for very long. You need to look at transformation. You need to look at what growth and shifting and changing and possibilities. And so it's up to the coach's job. Even if the client keeps coming to sessions playing not to lose, it's the coach's job to create a transformation in that area. And that's what standing in the fire is how do I stay there?
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, this part of what I love about our profession of coaching is that it grows me. I cannot help but be on a path of continual learning and change and transformation myself in order to be the way I need to be and show up the way I want to show up with clients. So the art of playing to win, I mean, that's something I want for my client, but I need to walk that talk.
Okay.
So for this particular question, what I'm noticing is that my client is continually playing not to lose, is sort of in that mode. Well then, you know, I go back to our conversation from 2 weeks ago. What I need to do is shake things up a bit. I need to raise that dilemma to my client so that my client actually becomes conscious of their playing not to lose strategy. Because here's what we believe about people, naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. I believe that nobody wants to be playing not to lose. Mm-mm. People don't want to do that. That's not. People don't get up and say, well, I'm really going to play not to lose today, rather than play to win. I mean, people want to play to win.
Well, I
want to
have another day where I play it safe.
Yeah, another day to play it safe. I mean, people, maybe we forget how, or maybe we become scared, or maybe, you know, we get hurt just one too many times, and so we don't want to risk it again. And this is how people come, this is how our clients come to coaching in organizations and outside of organizations. I'd even suggest that there's so many things, having, you know, having lived a good chunk of my professional life in organizations, there's so many forces that kind of hammer people down in organizations, that teach people to play, not to lose. The forces in organizations that reinforce playing, not to lose, are huge. And our clients, like, they, I don't know, they forget. They forget that it's possible to have a dream inside that matters for their workplace. To have something
that,
yeah. And so part of our job is to wake that up. And sometimes.
And the next part of it is to not shrink back from waking it up. And that's the point of this call, is to stand in the fire of that wake up. And that's, in some ways, it takes different muscles than it takes to shake it up. There's a certain set of muscles and energy and riskiness and courage that it takes for the coach to leap into that energy of playing not to lose and shake it up. And then it takes a whole other energy to stay there.
Right.
More committed to the client breaking through that than I am to being comfortable or I am to staying having that client love me or like me.
And we, in our last call 2 weeks ago, we introduced a very simple term that it's actually part of the coactive leadership framework. And very simply, it's the concept of staying. Concept of staying. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But think about, and again, I want to speak personally to everyone on the call, but think about the heated, bonfiry situations you find yourselves in anywhere in life, in with your clients or in organizations or in your relationships. But when it heats up and it becomes uncomfortable, and notice what is it like? Like, so here we have in this image, we've got a boat, like a tugboat kind of, I don't know what kind of boat it is. It looks like a fishing boat, actually. And it is under threat of being knocked over by a wave, like the wave of our saboteur. How do you stay in the midst of such discomfort? And before we get to the how do you do that, what are the ways that you, like, what are the saboteurs that we all have that are kind of the most common saboteurs? Like, what happens? I guess the question here is, when we're in the midst of the fire, what is it that our chief saboteurs tell us? If I stay in this fire, what might happen? So, like, if
and
I
tell
stay
you, some of those things, are things like, they won't like me. They won't approve. You know, I'll get fired. I need to smooth it over. I need to make it better. Those are all the automatic urges that we have that pull us out of staying in the fire. Now, staying in the fire, there's another side of it too, isn't there, Art? There's a side that's also staying. Sometimes people get staying confused with codependence. You know, like I sort of glom on and I stay and ride the horse even though it's killing me. So it's not about that. It's about staying with the commitment for the transformative shift that's occurring in this person. It's not staying with the person through whatever, thick and thin. It's a different kind of staying.
Yeah. And, you know, something also, Henry, I want to get across is how although it sounds so simple, how uncommon this capability is. You know, like if you think about relationships, think about you know, in any context, workplace or otherwise, where, you know, when conflict happens or when discomfort is really present. And what are the most common responses? What usually happens? What is typical? I would say what's typical is actually people going away.
Mm-hmm.
People trying to sort of sidestep behaviors like minimizing, like, oh, it's fine, it's really not important, it's okay, sort of softening it over, pretending it's not there, moving on quickly. Well, let's put that behind us and let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there are all sorts. Yeah.
Just giving in,
like acquiescing. Oh,
right.
You're right. Meanwhile, in those situations, what's really the truth? Actually, under the surface, we sort of know that there's a lie happening or something's not, you know, we know, and the client knows too. When this shows up in coaching, it so diminishes the process, and it's so notably different when a coach or, you know, anybody in the midst of such difficulty is actually willing to stay. It's rare. So we've been talking about various kinds of saboteurs, and I want to use the phrase here, reactive tendencies. Now, here's some, this is some terminology that's used in the leadership circle work. Just FYI, it comes from two primary places. One is the work of Karen Horney, who's a psychologist and did a lot of work in the early 20th century on character structure, and also Robert Fritz, probably more well known to many on the call. He's the author of The Path of Least Resistance. He's actually an artist, did lots of work on creativity. And, he talked about the difference between reactive problem solving versus being really, truly creative. The three reactive tendencies we have are complying, protecting, and controlling. So complying are all those things we've been talking about where what I'm really afraid of, what my saboteur is afraid of, is that they're not going to like me. I might get rejected. They might be upset with me. They'll be displeased with me, or, you know, and I'll be asked to leave.
And that's, my job, you know, with complying is to please.
My job with complying is to please. And so that's a reactive tendency that really can get triggered for some people when the fire is burning hot. Now, second one, we call it protecting. And here's where, you know, whatever happens, I don't want to look incompetent. I want to protect my image of having it together and being smart and being competent, and don't you dare threaten that. So I'll do whatever I need to protect that stance, and don't get so close to me. You know, that's the sort of mode of protecting.
And protecting, the job with protecting is to really avoid any kind of controversy. In other words, I'm going to protect myself, so I will be, it's the slippery one. It's when you get slippery and you get avoiding of things, and you sort of dodge as opposed to give in or dominate, which is what we're going to do next.
Yeah. And so, so complying is sort of moving toward people in a pleasing, please like me kind of way. Protecting is a moving away from people in a don't get too close to me and don't threaten me kind of way. And controlling, as a kind of the third saboteur theme here, is an energy of moving against, and it's a defensive. I've got to win here. You know, if I don't watch out here, I might get beaten. I might lose. So I've got to take control. It's a very forceful strategy. My job is to win and to not lose control.
And
so these are three.
That we as coaches pull back. back from the fire because we are prone to pulling back for one of these three reasons. And for many of us, you're already looking, many of you are probably already looking and saying, wonder which one I am, or you're identifying yourself with the one you most likely fall into when you fall into your reaction that pulls you away from the fire.
In truth, we all, you know, we all have elements of all of these.
Of course.
And there are other reactive tendencies that might be different than these, but these are, the research has shown that these are kind of the three top sellers, if you will. And most of us have one or maybe two of these three that are really dominant. So perhaps you recognize just in some of the words we've used, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. Well, and guess what? These are human reactive tendencies. So, these are also what your clients show up with as well. So again, this is sort of where, as a coach, we need to keep learning and growing ourselves, become aware of these kinds of things in ourselves and how to get from under them, in order to really support our clients in doing that as well.
Absolutely.
All righty. So,
did you want to do that poll?
Oh yes, thank you, Henry. We have a poll. Yeah, Janaki, we're going to start the poll in a minute. We want to. So we've presented this information on these three versions of the of saboteurs, and I'm going to review them just briefly. But we want to put a poll out here. Pardon me?
I think you just.
Henry, I'm sorry. What did you say?
I think she just put it in front of us.
Yeah, so there's a poll up on your screen. Which is your favorite way? This is what we want to find out. And again, complying when under threat, your saboteur goes into a please like me mode. Please don't disapprove of me. Please accept me. I want to belong. Please, please, please. Protecting is don't get too close to me. I know what I'm doing here. I don't need any help. That's protecting.
Right, I got it together, and I will protect myself from you at all costs when I'm in
right.
that reaction place.
And controlling is you're not going to take control away. I've got the reins here. I'm not going to let them go. I got to make sure I don't lose here.
And this is the
so
one
those
that
are the
really
three.
Says, you know, this is where the resistors are. Also, the ones that are going to actively resist the direction something's going or taking it personally and resisting, that kind of thing.
Right. So we've got the poll happening, and let's see here. 50% of you have voted, so I want more votes. So take a look at your screen. You should see it. And, you know, we had number four other. It's just if none of these really make sense to you, but you know that there's something else, then you'd pick that. All right, 85% have voted. And I'm not sure if you all can see the results or not, but I'm going to give them to you in just a minute.
I think we could, you know, close at 88%. That's great. And
all right.
So we closed at 88%. And as not surprising in a group of coaches,
mm-hmm.
In my mind, because we are such helpers types, 55% of us are compliers in our reactive tendency.
Yep.
41% of us tend to be protectors. We tend to be avoiders or protectors. And 26% of us are controllers. We tend to want to control or resist what's happening. Then there's 3%
yep.
that are something else.
And that, as Senator said, that does not surprise me. You know, we've been running these Leadership Circle certification workshops where there's a profile that gives people feedback on these three reactive tendencies, as well as if you're more relationship oriented or task oriented. And not much of a surprise. These, you know, it's all of us here on the call. We are the audience for these workshops, so they're made up of people who are coaches and are working as coaches, and of course there's much more strength and emphasis on the relationship and people side than there is on the task side, because it's who we are, And there tends to be a bit more complying tendency and protecting tendency and a bit less controlling. So it's kind of interesting that it plays out here. And Henry, which are you? Which is your favorite, would you say? Totally putting you on the spot.
I think I am complying with very, very strong subset as controlling. How about you?
It's higher in complying and protecting, and it's lower in controlling. So anyway, part of the whole challenge of this and why we want to have, you know, why we're having this conversation is part of the challenge is simply becoming more conscious of what it is we do when we're in a when we fall into a reactive mode.
Hey, Art, there's a question that came in from Gregory a while back that I would love to deal with before we go to the next slide.
Sure.
Which was, it basically says, what are some of the ways you help clients clarity when they're just resting, quote unquote, when they're playing not to lose?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I'm making up that it seems like you're not allowed to rest if you're always playing to win. It sounds very active. I never get to take a time out, that kind of thing.
Yep.
I can understand how sort of the forcefulness of our talking about this makes it feel like it's all active. And part of staying is being able to respond to what's needed. That's what the fire is. In other words, when you make your action in the shake it up move that you made from the last call that we had, the idea is you just made your fire, and you need to stand in the face of that. Sometimes in the face of that, you'll see that the client needs to rest or something needs to occur that's different than playing not to lose. That client is playing to win, but they're playing to win in a way that needs rest right now. And that's just as active a staying place as because you're staying not – you got to remember, you're staying for the transformative shifts and changes that are occurring for that client. You're not staying because you're right and you're going to win no matter what. It's not that kind of staying. It's not a controlling kind of staying. It's a responding to the circumstances that you've created in the shaking it up staying.
Mm-hmm. Something I'd add to that, Henry. This also is something we talk about in the leadership circle stuff. Is we follow stages of adult development, and in particular, we use Robert Keegan's work on stages of adult development. And we make this distinction between vertical growth and horizontal growth. It's a little bit like, Henry, you and I have talked about in the other webinars, the distinction between transformative learning and incremental learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea with a transformative shift is really a popping through to another level of how you see the world. You know, the sort of the ground you stand on fundamentally changes, and it often comes with a disorienting dilemma and with hot burning fires and like that. That tends to be how that is, and we've all had cycles of growth like that and shifts like that in our lives. So that's vertical growth. Then, and here's where I think I'm wanting to get to the question. There are also times of, I haven't called it rest before, but it's a little bit like rest. It's sort of like I've just popped into wearing a new size of shoes, and I got to get used to these shoes. So rather than trying to find an even bigger pair of shoes, I actually need to explore what it's like to walk around with these new shoes, or how to explore the world and come to know the world with this new sort of level of consciousness. And that's what we mean by sort of by horizontal growth or horizontal learning. And I think that's what Greg means by the resting. It's like we're not in every coaching session, we're not going to have a transformative leap necessarily. And that doesn't mean that someone is playing not to lose. So to me, it's about recognizing where is the client. And, you know, like, are they in a place that's very saboteur-driven and play not to lose? Or actually, are they learning how to walk a bit in the shoes that they've got?
I just want to add one thing to it. That's great, Art. The one thing I want to add is that there's also cycles involved in Greg's questions. I think often you have, and as coach, you in the staying, you become aware of and you're able to respond to the cycles, the natural cycles of transformation and breakthrough. Almost inevitably, after any kind of breakthrough or shaking it up experience, there's going to need to be a dip or a breakdown or a rest period. And you want to acknowledge that. You want to. It's not just about driving to exhaustion. You need to acknowledge the cycles that someone's in without buying into that when I'm in a low cycle, that means I'm in a playing to not to lose cycle. I'm actually in a dip, and I need to acknowledge the dip as well as I need to acknowledge the breakthroughs.
Right. And I want to respond to one more question before we move on, Henry.
Yeah.
This one is the one here from Chris. And Chris's question is, since these reactive tendencies are always there, do you recommend sharing these with our clients to increase their awareness of when they fall into these behaviors? And, you know, I think it's like balanced coaching and working with the saboteur. Part of what we're up to here is expanding consciousness and helping our clients be more resourceful and able to make powerful choices and move toward fulfillment in their lives. And part of that is becoming more conscious of the typical saboteurs or reactive tendencies that we fall prey to. So short answer is absolutely yes. I it's just like getting curious with a client about the saboteur that they seem stuck in. You know, as one way to work with saboteurs, it's to explore them, to have them become more conscious so they're not quite as threatening and, you know, exerting so much influence. And for sure, I would share this with clients. It helps them become more conscious.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. I'm going to move us forward and to talk a little bit about strategies. So, and again, because this is similar to, you know, in each of our webinars, we've said, okay, what are some tips and tools? Well, this time we mean tips and tools specifically for staying, for standing in the fire.
Different,
so when it gets
even though some of the strategies are similar, like Design the Alliance is a strategy almost for anything. You know, it's a great strategy. It's just the nature of the design of an alliance for staying or standing in the fire is different than the designed alliance that's there for, shaking things up and disorienting dilemmas. You know, that's the design alliance in that case would be permission to shake things up. You would be in a relationship with your client and getting permission to shake things up. In this design alliance, you're looking instead to design an alliance that has you stay. What is the nature of a designed alliance that has you stay committed to that person, more committed to what they're up to and where they're headed than they will be sometimes?
Yeah, boy, you know, I think about the first thing that comes to mind actually are not my clients, it's my spouse. You know, I think about the relationship I have in my marriage, and I think about the capacity that we have built over the years to stand in the fire, you know, to have difficulty, uncomfortableness, to have difficult but honest conversation, and the alliance that we've built to be able to stay in those moments when it gets tough has become powerful. And what comes from that, because we know we can trust the alliance, absolutely. And I know, you know, when I'm working with folks and there is not room in the coaching conversation for it to get messy, the way I always direct people is you got to go back and you got to redesign your alliance. Like something here isn't giving you room for this kind of conversation. Henry, the next one I think is your personal favorite, isn't it?
I like to say, you know, it's also appreciate the chaos and that occurs, and that's the chaos of feelings that are going on. Somebody had a question about that. How do I deal with my feelings that are going on when I am staying there in that fire? And there's an appetite for letting you. This is an appetite for the uncomfortableness of the coach, that you will have your reactive tendencies. Those reactive tendencies will pull on you and make you feel that you need to go in a certain direction that you're familiar with. And it gets uncomfortable to not go in that direction. And there's a sort of an image I have of a little kid rubbing their hands together with glee at the idea of the discomfort or the chaos that is going on inside of me as I'm sitting here not reacting. You know, there's the part of me inside that's very uncomfortable because I'm so used to reacting a certain way. And I have to actually grow my appetite, grow my desire for that uncomfortable place of not following my reaction.
You know, and I would say to it, you know, to relearn and practice what you say to yourself, what we all say to ourselves. In those moments when it feels most difficult or most uncomfortable, notice the automatic things the saboteurs say, like, ooh, this isn't safe. Oh, we need to turn down the heat. Ooh, better get out of here. Whatever it is, we automatically say to ourselves, instead of saying, ah, here's a rich opportunity, or, oh, this is the potential for my client to really grow, or, wow, I recognize this as the moment before breakthroughs often happen. Like, and I know, my experience has been and it continues to be that this changes. With practice, this changes. The more experience we gather under our belt where we shake things up, we stand in the fire, and sure enough, something happens that wouldn't have happened otherwise for our clients. We learn over time that there is rich potential in these places.
The next one, don't get pulled into the rivers, means actually that's sort of like don't get codependent. In my mind, I think of that. Don't get pulled into the river of their, whoever they are, the client, the team, the people you're leading. You don't get pulled into the river of their excuses or their whatever. You need to stay on the bank and hold the river. Hold the river of their, you know, of their action. Hold, you know, put your sandbags up and be aware that you're the one helping direct the river, you're not in the river with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's how you actually stay in the fire, interestingly enough.
I realize we're using an awful lot of metaphors here. Another one is to simply, you know, to tell the truth. Use the skill of articulate what's going on. And instead of, you know, like pretending that it's not happening or whatever, at times it makes sense to just, you know, to name it, to say, this feels really uncomfortable right now, or whatever is the truth. But to also, it's another thing to just to keep practicing is articulate what's happening and speak the truth, speak the simple, obvious truth. It's amazing.
Nothing wakes
what
things
that
up or keeps things awake more than that kind of transparency, both
and
for you
have,
and your client or team.
Excuse me. We have another concept that it comes from our collective leadership program, and there are actually two concepts that kind of hang side by side, and they are to act with full permission and responsibility for impact. They really go hand in hand, and we want to explain a little bit about what we mean by those.
Full permission means no editors. That your full range of expression, your full range of who you are as coach, leader, person, is not held back. It's fully authentic, fully present, and fully expressed. And you are fully aware of what and who the fully expressed you is.
Like you're not acting in isolation. You're not in a glass bubble. You're acting and you're responding and you're granting yourself full permission to swing out as far as you need to do whatever you need to. But you're not in a glass bubble. You're also present and connected and aware of what is the impact that is occurring from the action that you're taking. And that impact may not be sufficient. More may be needed. Or that impact may be too much, and less may be needed. It's not a vote in either direction, but it's the simultaneously being aware of the impact that you're having as you're having it, so that you can respond. And if we're standing in the fire, it's particularly important because the very nature of standing in the fire is to give yourself permission and to stay present. And it's a bit like stay, to notice what is happening now, what is needed now. There's a sort of observer part of ourselves that stays present. Oop, oh, oh dear, I'm sorry. That was a mistake. Hang on.
Okay.
Sorry, I hit the mouse and off it went.
That's all right. I think we've talked about stay. You know, and the keeping the big A agenda, which means keeping that stake, that stand, that who that person is that you see firmly in mind, that transformation, that transformed being in the process of growing and changing and filling their lives completely. Who is that, and are they moving in that direction? Are you,
right.
You're holding that agenda for them. That will keep you in the fire, clearly.
So we want with this for you to really think about you, for you to think about your practice, and in particular in this conversation, what's your relationship with standing in the fire, with situations that get heated up, and your capacity to stay? Who are you in those situations, and really what's possible for you as Coactive Coach if you could expand your capability in these areas?
And there's a person, Jan, out there who's asking about teams and how does this all apply to teams and that kind of thing. And I think from our perspective of Coactive Coaches, transformative change agents, we're talking about, when we say client, we mean client as in individual, client as in team, client as in world, organization,
mm-hmm.
whoever you're leading or coaching. So when we're talking, these things we're talking about are things that we want you to look at in your interactions and interventions with all the different clients, quote unquote, that you have.
Yeah, and the Jan was asking also a little bit specifically about the reactive tendencies, and while at an individual level the reactive tendencies play out, controlling, protecting, and complying, and the research, at least that I know most closely, came from individuals. It's also very applicable to thinking about systems and teams, because you could even think of whole organizations, perhaps even whole cultures of societies or communities that have collective reactive tendencies.
Right.
And I think there's still a process of becoming aware and conscious that plays out on either level. And so with that, I move us to the question, what's your declaration? You know, and here, if I go back to this whole series of webinars, not just standing in the fire, but really your practice as a Coactive Coach, as a coach that specifically is committed in organizations or elsewhere to nudging consciousness, to creating transformative growth, to holding that really big agenda for your clients and what it takes to do that. What is your declaration? You know, what is it you're committed to?
And I think that I would add that this declaration, this manifesto, this dedication of who you are is something that needs to be revisited. It needs to be stated, revisited, and, you know, become a flexible, changing mantra, basically, of sort of how you define yourself in your role as a Coactive Coach.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, who is it now, and who are you now, and now
right.
Who are you? And the act of declaring, just as it's true for our clients, it's true for us too. We need to continually revisit who we are and really what we're up to with our clients. And I want to urge everybody to take a look at how clear really is your declaration of who you are and what you're up to with your clients. And what's needed there? Is it a new vision statement for yourself? Is it a new communication to your clients? Here's what I'm about. Here's what I'm committed to as your coach or as your consultant, whatever your role may be, but to keep declaring yourself, because there's something about the act of declaring. It's why we have people step over so many lines. There's something that happens from the act of declaring. It's a little bit, you know, there's that expression, fake it till you make it. And I don't want anyone faking it, but there is something about declaring that pulls us forward.
There's a power to words.
There's a power to words.
There just is.
And so with that, I want to thank everyone for coming to this whole series and invite you to really look at what is next for you and your growth and your evolution as a coach, whether it is, you know, wherever it may be, your own strategy or, you know, we're CTI. Of course, we're biased here because we love CTI. But
and
we're not
the
only game in town.
We
know we're not the only game in town. And wherever you find your game, find it. You know, it's important that we keep growing on this path. And, you know, in terms of CTI and what may be next for you, two things here we put on the slide are the Coactive Leadership Program in California, North Carolina, or Spain, and the Leadership Circle profile certification that's being offered here in the U.S. in California and Toronto. And specifically for those on the webinar, we're making a shameless pitch here. If you're interested in the April 27th workshop for the Leadership Circle and you have completed the coaching curriculum, the Leadership Circle certification is for coach. You don't need to be certified, but you do need to have gone through the curriculum. We're offering you a $250 discount for, in particular, this April 27th course.
And I don't know the Leadership Circle is, Art. The Leadership Circle profile is this amazing 360 profile that is given, and it not only does the typical 360-degree feedback formation stuff, it also deals with all this reactive tendency things that are in it, so it gives a real full both accomplishment achievement orientation as well as a psychological almost orientation at the bottom.
It's another company that created it, and we've aligned with them because it's so aligned with our purpose and the stand that we have taken here about transformative growth and change. It is a 360 leadership instrument, although that describing it that way doesn't really do it justice.
No.
It's based on stages of adult development. It's based on transformative learning. And what it does, in my experience, is that it opens up a very deep, powerful coaching conversation with clients very, very quickly.
Provides a remarkable disorienting event.
It's a disorienting dilemma.
Yeah.
It is. What else to say about it? It's
we have to go because I want to say one thing about Coactive Leadership, which is another disorienting event. Because as long as we're doing shameless promotion, I have my wife, Karen, the other founder of CTI, and I are doing a Coactive Leadership program in May in California. There are some spots left, and, of course, that will be the most amazing Coactive Leadership program ever to happen on the face of the earth.
That was a truly shameless promotion.
Yes. Call Deborah at CTI to sign up.
All right. I want to thank everybody again for being on. And, you know, we've had this online conversation happening. We'd love to see more people engage. Henry and I are both going to stay connected to that conversation, and we would invite more people to. It's been kind of quiet, and we'd love to hear more voices and really kind of continue this conversation.
We'd especially love to see your declarations and dedications.
Yeah,
you know,
that would
we'd
be
love
great.
To see you get on there and just and we'd like to see 100 declarations and dedications about who you are as a coach, what you're up to in the world. Please come on and do that.
Awesome. And with that, I want to thank everyone for coming and look forward to seeing you wherever it is that our paths cross.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.